CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It is Thursday. Means the burning platform today. Sia is here, Gugu is here, I'm here. We're here to look after you. Yes, hopefully take you boldly into Friday, which of course will bring you to the weekend. And before you know it, you'll be nicely relaxed.
You're being wonderfully descriptive these days.
Oh, you think that's descriptive? I think it's just very
boldly take you
factual.
Into Friday.
Oh, right. Okay, I see what you mean.
I mean, always wait for those phrases now. Okay. No pressure.
Well, Sia is off to America today.
Oh, very exciting.
What are you expecting, by the way? Everything you've seen in the movies?
Let me just get this off my chest, because as much as you guys do make fun of me for being anxious at times, there are root moments where I'm a total ball of anxiety, and I'm not saying woe unto me and I now need an emotionally supportive animal.
Did you sleep last night?
I didn't sleep well.
I can see it.
Because now there's... Thanks, Google. Thank you so much.
Sorry, man. Yeah, go on, sorry.
Someone saying, you look like death warmed up, but whatever.
Yeah.
No, now they're just all of these thoughts. I'm like, have I packed everything that I need to pack? And then I go over the list that I've already made. Then I'm always a what if person. I'm like, what if this happens? What if, you know, there's a great dinner to go to? What if I haven't transferred enough money into my account? What if? Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, okay.
Listen, there's prep.
I need to go.
There's preparing yourself and being prepared, and then there's over preparation where you're actually just driving yourself crazy.
Oh, I can feel myself sweating starting to think about all of this.
When's your flight?
At midday.
You see, there used to be a time where it was difficult if you didn't think of everything to find it. Like, for example, you know, you couldn't use South African cards overseas once. I mean, then you started being able to use them at ATMs, and then you could use credit cards anywhere in the world. And I don't understand how it ever was anything different. But on my first trip, you had to take things called traveler's checks. I don't know if anybody... There's a company that went bankrupt just the other day called Thomas Cook that used to issue traveler's checks. So you were nervous about, like, if you had enough traveler's checks. And what you would do is fill them in like a check.
Yeah.
And then you would get cash for it on that side, but you couldn't use it on this side. So it's weird. There were things like that that you... If you, for example, didn't take whatever it was that you used... Let's say you have a specific toothpaste or aftershave or any of that stuff, and you wouldn't find it there because we had very different products, right?
Yeah. You're right.
Now you can find anything. Now, everything you buy here, you could buy there. So, let's say you leave behind, I don't know, whatever it might be, something that you need. You can find it there.
Okay, now my anxiety is at 78% as opposed to 103%.
Like, what on earth could you leave behind? And let's say there is some fancy, fancy thing on. You know, people also understand if you're a traveler and you're in town, you might have one smart jacket there in your bag, and you might have a pair of decent pants and, you know, some good shoes, and then you're sorted. It doesn't matter that you're not dressed to the nines as if you were here in South Africa.
Yes. No one knows you this, yeah?
No, nobody knows you, so nobody actually
cares. That's the problem.
But they have no expectations. Gugu's right.
Okay,
they don't know.
Right.
Yeah. So they, as far as they're concerned, you're this quirky dude from far away who's,
far away, Wakanda.
Dresses differently. You're Wakanda. Yeah. They think you're from Wakanda, and they don't
so
they really
they don't
care.
Expect anything.
No.
Huh? Okay, it's fine. Yeah,
it's a
good moment. I'm getting excited. It's fine.
I think I know what you're hinting at, though, because here's Guillermo, who says, good luck, Sia. Go and get your man, honey.
Oh, eh?
Maybe that's what it is. Sia's nervous because he thinks he's going to meet the love of his life.
You will never know who you might bump into, so you must be prepared for any occasion. Yeah, just in terms of the whole entire experience, I've been saying this to a lot of people I've been chatting to over the past couple of days and weeks. I do just think it will be like walking into a movie, because it's everything that I've experienced. And, you know, now, though, the world is getting smaller than ever. You know, we have so many global brands here in South Africa as well. We have Starbucks and we have McDonald's. But before that, it was this things so far away. You know, even just H&M was, of course, you. It was just an association of American, that was it. So now we're used to a lot of things. We travel often as well. We see a lot of things. Mm.
World has become, in so many ways, smaller.
Yeah.
But Dr. Robin, who was giving us advice yesterday or the day before on Transact pads, says that when you use your credit card in Russia, it gets cloned and you lose a few grand. Yeah, so that happens in Russia especially, I'm sure.
Is that like scamming or...
Well, Russia's... Yeah, so what they do is they... If you go to a restaurant, for example, what they don't... You know, the reason that they use the credit card machine in front of you now is because they used to take it in the back. They would clone the card, which means they copy all of its information, and then they basically use your card as if it was you. Because they've got it there. They can copy it.
That is so weird.
Yeah, it's hectic.
Didn't expect that from the Russians.
Are you kidding?
What?
The Russians?
Mild as compared to what I think of Russians.
The Russians you don't know the stereotypes of Russians?
Are they poor or something? Because, I mean...
Listen.
They just... what's the word?
Yeah, they're crooks.
Yeah.
Crooked as a dog's hind leg.
Well, that's the stereotype. They're obviously very nice Russians, just like they're a very nice, you know, Albanians or...
You know, and they have certain skills and arts. Like, they can slit your throat while making sure that, you know, they have a glass of vodka in the other hand and it doesn't spill over. That's a skill.
Okay.
Well, that's a real movie stereotype.
You
but okay.
have to recognize yeah.
The Russian gangsters, maybe, but not the... the broad population are poor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, socialism kind of took the wind out of their sails, but they've always been poor. Mm. The average Russian... from the middle of the 1800s was measurably one of the poorest people in the world, the average Russian. It's cold, it's hard, it's difficult to live there. They have huge problems with alcoholism and mental illness at most levels of society. The idea of, you know, we think that we've lived with privations here in South Africa, but man, the Russians, do you know how many millions of Russians died in World War I and then again in World War II and died during the revolution and died because Stalin sent them to, you know, camps, basically. Solkhoz and Kovkhoz camps, and just the absolute carnage that went on in the Ukraine. What they called middle-class farmers, kulaks, were just massacred in Russia. It's a very hard place. It's a hard, hard place. Not easy to live there. And, I mean, of course, you get very refined and very sophisticated Russians, particularly in St. Petersburg. And, you know, they've got a more European bent than they do in a Siberian or Asian bent. They're just very... They're a strange nation. It's so huge.
It's a strange...
It's so huge.
Then people say, why aren't the Russians friendly?
Well, they suffer a lot.
They suffer a lot, but they also... I have one really good Russian friend, and he's hilarious, but most Russians...
What's his name, Gareth?
Alexei.
Shlokovich.
No.
Okay.
Most Russians...
His Google is exhausting.
Most Russians have no sense of humor.
Really?
None. Most.
I can expect that.
Most Russians, you don't get Russian comedy clubs. There's no famous Russian comedians. Russians have never written extremely funny books. I mean, you've got brilliant, brilliant minds in Russia. Some of the world's greatest scientists and some of the world's greatest literary genius comes out of Russia. Ballet, they're a phenomenal nation when it comes to, you know, things like ballet and even poetry and...
Poetry?
And art. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes.
They don't sound like they have much personality, though, those people.
No, they have personality, but they don't necessarily prioritize humor. But again, that's a stereotype. And we love stereotypes because stereotypes are what make us interesting to each other. New York, Sia, is the best thing in the world. This is according to a message that we've just got now from Hermin. She says, New York is the best. It's going to be everything you imagine and more. I hope you enjoy every moment.
I do think I'll be that annoyingly excited person, though, who gets shut down by New Yorkers who are going about their day. I'm overly excited about the subway. No one's taking Instagram photo
are you not nervous,
and then people are just like, get out of the way.
Are you not nervous for things like taking the subway? I mean, you've never been there. You don't know where you're going. You don't know who's who.
No, not really. I mean, if I've survived China, where we didn't understand the language and we were still able to maneuver and navigate around.
No, listen.
They're speaking so English and whatnot.
I promise you, once you've lived in Joburg for a while, no city in the world scares you.
You know?
No, anything goes.
Surviving in Joburg just one afternoon is an extreme sport.
Joburg, you're like, oh, bring it. Bring it on. Bring it, I'm ready for you. Yeah.
What is happening here?
And then a very useful point for Gugu on the Russians. This is LW who says, the general Russian is poorer, except for dear Vladimir Putin. Well, he's supposedly the richest man in the world. You know that.
Look, the way in which the Russians even relax is not for most of us. Now, you see their spa treatments. They whip each other with little tree branches. They So it's too violent.
It's a Russian thing.
Robin says that the Russian mobsters, especially the Georgians, are really scary looking. On that note, a request for some blind history episodes involving Russian history. Yeah, I was thinking of maybe doing one on the Tsars, because that was something else. What an interesting chapter. And just been to Russia for 3 weeks. It was outstanding. Go and try it, Malacca, which is not a great way to. That's from Mickey. Mickey actually has St. Basil's Cathedral as his profile picture.
Is
Russians also great hackers? I want to go there.
That cathedral, is that the one that looks like an ice cream cone?
Yeah, it's like got these onion shaped domes that are all colorful.
That's weird.
It's in Moscow. And New York has many cultures. The locals aren't easily identified. That's true, and a very good point. So thanks for that one, Michelle. Basically, any big city in the world now, you know, New York, London, Paris, Sydney. These are cities that are so multicultural. You're not going to find the same old there.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear in New York Chinese being spoken. You will hear Italian. You will hear French, German. You will hear Nigerian. You'll hear Ghanaian. You'll hear any kind of language on the island of Manhattan. You know that they say, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but they say if you eat Chinese food and you eat at a different Chinese restaurant every night, you can eat at a different place every year and never leave Manhattan.
Sure.
The island of Manhattan
just
alone.
Manhattan, yeah. That's how much diversity and specialization there is.
Goodness.
There. And you could walk three blocks in New York and you can walk from the Hasidic Jews in 47th Street who sell diamonds to, you know, like shops that would remind you of Durban in terms of, you know, places that sell bizarre things. And it's really, really unbelievable. The energy is the reason I love New York. You get into that city and it just feels like you're in the center of the universe. Jeez. And important shit happens. Everybody's on a mission. And everyone who's doing whatever they do in New York, and I know this is also a stereotype, but you get the feeling they're the best at it. Like if you're a hedge fund manager in New York, you're among the best in the world. If you are a dentist, you're the best dentist in the world. If you're a clown, you're the best clown in the world. New York attracts the very best of the best.
Well, because I think what you're saying is sound based on if you really can make it there where it's so cutthroat.
Yeah.
You can make it anywhere. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Damn it, I wish I had fishnet stockings.
So isn't like a musical, though? I mean, there are musicals all the way down Broadway.
No, too late to tell me that. I have my New York playlist.
Do you have any friends over there by any chance?
Yeah, I have two friends who live in the city and then a friend who lives out in Jersey.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, I'll make plans to see all three of them in the midst of it as well.
Well, Carla says, and this is probably another stereotype, but it's useful. One tip: anyone who is too friendly with you for the first time in New York should bring immediate suspicion. They either want a donation or to swindle and rob you. If you bump into someone, not literally bump into someone, because that doesn't go well, But if you're walking down the street and someone really, really friendly comes up to you out of the blue and you don't know them at all and they say, "Hey, how are you? Are you new in New York? Can we show you around?" You should be suspicious. New Yorkers don't do that.
Well, granted, Joburg 101.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be fine.
You're instantly suspicious then. But I was with my cousin a couple of weeks ago and we watched Coming to America again. And
oh,
I thought,
that's funny. I love that movie.
Is this how I'm going to be?
I love that movie. Oh.
You know, there's some old school movies that are true comfort watching. And I had that thought when I was watching Coming to America again. I think like wherever, you know, now we watch more things on demand and whatnot. But whenever movies like that pop up, you can still sit down and you watch it and you enjoy it like the first time. Wherever you stop by and start watching from, it was very cool.
All right. Yeah. So you're first doing Washington, though. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. I am spending 2.5 days there. Well, no, but 2.5 days, yeah. Bordering on 3.
That's enough.
And I've heard varying opinions from a bunch of different people, but mostly positive, and I'm excited for that. There are a lot of, you know, proper touristy things to do there, a lot of sights to see, but I also just I love that we get to, I'll actually be joining Debbie, yes, who
Debbie
we always
Drunk.
Yeah, we chat to every now and then here on the show, and I love that I'll be staying with her, and of course because she lives there, she knows a lot of,
she'll show you around,
yeah, you know, the culture, the that's real great. Nice things to do there, the people, so that's also awesome.
Very nice.
And then I'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, I land on Sunday or Saturday, I think.
When are you leaving?
Friday afternoon.
I feel like it's travel season, guys. I'm going for a visa today as well.
Oh, which country?
Espanol.
Oh, wow. You think you're planning a trip to Spain?
Well, end of this month, yeah.
Very
nice. Amigos para siempre.
I'm looking forward to it.
Amigos para siempre.
The speak.
I think that might have been Portuguese.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Amigos para
siempre. I just know.
What were you trying to say? What the hell's that all about?
What were you trying to say?
I just know it from a random song.
Here's a message that's just come in from, and by the way, the burning platform's on today, Kant and Pele popping by. Ruth says, "I watched the documentary on the Tsars. Nicholas was a huge anti-Semite, and that is why he fell. He was a scared coward who forgot his people." Now, he didn't fall because he was an anti-Semite, but he was certainly a bunch of things, and cowardly was certainly one of them too. Yeah, not the greatest example of a leader, and the Romanovs... Not a very successful dynasty in the long run. Anyway, so we've got the burning platform. Canton will be popping in, as usual. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the big political stories of the week, including Robert McBride and Cyril Ramaphosa. He signed a lot of laws into effect in the last week or two, which are interesting. And we could talk about Dudu Zane Zuma and former President Jacob Zuma, who's expected to know on Friday if his corruption case will be dismissed by the KZN High Court in Maritzburg.
I feel like there's so many cases and charges that the Zuma family have.
I mean, what are they? You see, we all get together when we do with our families and we talk about, well, you know, what's everybody doing? And are we going to get together for Christmas? The Zumas sit around and they talk about, so how's this case going? And what are those charges doing? And have you been sent to court for this
that
yet?
That's such a great point. Yeah. They don't even have time to ask for so-and-so to pass the potatoes at the dinner table. No, it's Speedy, we've got to talk about, oh, shucks, you're using this lawyer? Okay, when can I use them again then? Because they're booked and busy. But I found myself trying to research the new reality show that's coming out from the Zuma family.
They've got a reality show coming on.
Yeah,
really?
The youngest of our former first ladies is doing a reality show.
Oh.
And she, I see that they're trying to drum up hype and suspense around alluding to former President Zuma, but I don't think he'll actually make an appearance on the show. From the little snippets that...
Well, he shouldn't. I mean, it would be bad for him no matter what.
Well, the entire idea, I think, is just bad. But knowing him, and lest we forget, this is the same guy who's in the works right now of creating some sort of album. So, you know, his post-presidency career is one for the books. But I think he will make a bit of an appearance. And so don't hold your breath. I wonder what the show will be like.
Somebody wants us to include the DA's misery in the discussion on the burning platform. Yes, we will. What a disaster. Oh, my God. All of our political parties are just a disaster at the moment. They've had, not one of them has had a good 2019, really. It's been messy for all of them. The ANC is in tatters. The DA is falling apart at the seams. The EFF are the biggest hypocrites on the planet. So between the three of them, it's really time that we find another system. This idea of the party system is not working for us in South Africa. It is too, it's too black or white and not enough grey.
Well, they haven't had a good year. It's not as if they're victims.
No, I don't feel sorry for them. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I feel like we need a better system for us. I'm not interested in their health. I would not cry. I would not shed a single tear if all three of those parties disappeared overnight. Not one tear would fall. I hold no candle for any of them. I'm not a member of any of them. I don't like the leaders in any of them. I don't even think that they're necessarily good, any one of them, at generating policies. They're shells. I don't know what the alternative is. I don't know what the best system is to go for.
ACDP, UDM, and
no, I'm saying Freedom Front. Look, I mean, let's not even talk about those. They're minnows, right? They don't exist. But there needs to be a better system. This party system doesn't work.
Yeah.
I almost feel like we need to look at a constituency-based system where you actually know who your person is in your neighborhood. And that person... Because you see, ideally, local government should have most of the responsibility and most of the money. Like, your local government is the one that tidies up your neighborhood, makes sure the street lights are on, makes sure that there's water and electricity and basic services for people, makes sure that there's sewerage. You know, the things that really affect you.
Mm.
That's the stuff that should be important. And I look at how much emphasis we place on national government, which hardly touches you on a daily basis. What Cyril does and says is not really an important thing to the average South African.
Mm.
Local government should be way more important, and they should have the lion's share of all the national budgets. You know, if your MP for your neighborhood, what are there? You know, 50 streets in your neighborhood, maybe? Maybe 10,000 people, maybe less? That can be managed. You can actually manage that. If you have X amount of money, make sure that, you know, things are looked after. There's security in that neighborhood. There's, if the MP had the power and then they went to Parliament to make the occasional national law that we maybe need from time to time and to change old laws that are no longer relevant, fine. But we put such an emphasis on the President and Parliament, and those things have very little effect on our lives. I would be far more interested in seeing local government take the lead and grow and have the most competent people deployed to local government. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, things would work.
Better.
We could only hope
they could work better.
And you know, now what happens is the parties have a list and they put their people on the list, and it's like a jobs for Pels scheme.
Exactly.
That's all it is. Anyway, let's get into some... we don't want to start off the morning with a whole bunch of opinion. We can get to that with the burning platform later on. Let's start with some news. We'll first give you the facts and then let you make up your own mind. Lawyers for a pupil accused of killing his schoolmate at a Sebokeng school said he would now prepare for his exams. Why?
How does he just move on like that? Like nothing ever happened?
No exams. No need for any of that shit. This is a far more important thing. You've killed another person. Your matric matters not at all to any of the rest of us. Apparently, the teenager stabbed the other boy with a pair of scissors at the Tuto Tiro Comprehensive School on Monday in full view of other pupils. The grade 9 pupil was arrested, but has now been released into the care of his parents after the charges were provisionally withdrawn. The lawyer for the 15-year-old boy accused of killing his schoolmate said his client had been severely affected by this week's events. You don't say.
Imagine.
He's dealing with it through his extended family and parents with their help. We're hoping that he will return to school. However, it is not in our hands. How can you think that this kid can just go back to school and everything will be fine? We don't want a guy who said the K word on a beach in Greece back in the country. And he didn't hurt anyone physically. Right? He said something. And the whole country's like, we don't want Adam Katsavelos back in South Africa. This just shows you how illogical we are. But we're talking about, we should let this kid back into school. He stabbed another child.
The very same school where it
happened. With a pair of scissors in front of the other kids.
How are they supposed to deal with him?
Damn it. You have to be insane to think that this is logical and reasonable and rational, right? You have to be insane.
Dude, I was listening to the news yesterday, driving home, and there's been another pupil killed. They stoned him.
My God.
Stoned by pupils and killed him. How does that happen? What society are we living
in? It's bizarre, right? And like Pumi said the other day, it's time we take a long, hard look in the mirror and see how badly we are raising children in this country. Parents are shit at their jobs. Not all parents. Don't get upset with me if you're trying your best and you've got kids who are reasonably well-adjusted. You know, they're not a disaster and they're not a drain on the system. But most kids that you read about, disasters. Sorry. I agree, Gareth. Joe Rogan once said on his podcast, countries need a board managing them. Someone specializing in technology, social development, etc. Decisions are taken by the board, the way companies are run. Not a single person or parties that run a country do so for anything but their personal gain. That is spot on. Very interesting point. And I haven't seen the movie yet, but a lot of people talking about the Joker movie and saying Joaquin Phoenix is brilliant.
Oh.
Changed backstory again, but a brilliant performance. Don't go and watch it if you're expecting Batman to come out of the shadows.
Hmm.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything but good reviews about the Joker.
I haven't heard anything apart from the frenzy around it. I've just been seeing a lot of the community in and around Aurora and its supporters. This is Aurora in Colorado, the city that had the gunman go into the cinema a couple of years ago.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, mm-hmm. because here we're talking about the first of a couple of stories in the Five Things You Need to Know, and it's all about school stabbings.
Yeah.
No better than school shootings, right? Except with a stabbing, you can just kill a few less people. But listen to this. You think we don't... We have an epidemic, mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen, because at least 3 cases of stabbings at schools have been reported just this week. On Tuesday, a 15-year-old girl was arrested for stabbing her classmate in Isipingo, south of Durban. A 16-year-old boy was stabbed at a high school in Mossel Bay this week, allegedly by 3 fellow pupils. And the story I've just read to you now. 3 incidents in a week. We should ban scissors, don't you think?
And schools.
We should ban schools, knives, and scissors.
I was going to say, the issue is bigger than just a pair of scissors.
Right. But you don't hear people screaming for like regulation or government intervention, do they? We realize that what we've got here is a bunch of dangerous little fucks.
Because how do you even get to that point?
Right.
Where what do you think is going to happen if you poke someone in the chest with a damn scissors?
And what is going on?
Jesus.
All right. Well, this leads on to the second story. There are calls for an urgent suicide prevention strategy policy in the country to deal with the rising number of people reaching out for help while battling mental health issues. We often talk about these on this show. It's not something we take lightly, but I do believe it's a much bigger problem than we think it is. On the eve of World Mental Health Day, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, SADAG, who we've spoken to many times here, their resources are already stretched. They said in the last 8 months, the suicide helpline had received more than 46,000 calls from people on the verge of taking their own lives.
Mm.
According to the World Health Organization, every 40 seconds, a person committed suicide somewhere in the world. SADAG's Cassie Chambers said that resources are needed to respond to the crisis. Mental health education should start early in school. We need to get our young people talking about it. We need to invest in NGOs who are already working on the ground, and there are so many across our provinces and South Africa. Well, I don't know if just talking about it is enough anymore, because mm-hmm. we have been talking about it for a long time. We realize that there's a much bigger problem than we originally anticipated. And I think what we need to do is start safeguarding those people in society who are mentally ill,
mm-hmm.
and protecting also the people who are not from the ones who are. Because I think that there are definite problems that spill over into ordinary society that are as a direct result of mental illness and that require management. We need to have, like, if you have a mental health issue, you need to be diagnosed, first of all, by a professional psychiatrist. And then you need to have some kind of designation as a result of that. Because I don't believe that someone who's mentally ill, certainly in and I'm talking about very many categories of mental illness here, but we know which ones are particularly dangerous, that those people need extra help in society, and they also need less responsibilities. So I would take away a lot of the duties that those people have in terms of civil society. I'd say that they shouldn't vote. I'd say that those people shouldn't necessarily have children until everybody's checked them out and social workers have spent a lot of time with them. And I don't know that government is in a position to administer this, so I'm really just coming up with ideas. But we expect people with severe mental illness to just live like the rest of us, and they can't.
Dude, I've got a family member who's also got mental illness, and he just goes off the rails, dude. Seeing that firsthand is scary, you know, because he'll be normal.
They can do massive damage to themselves and to people around them, and they are. And I wonder how much of the violence we have in society and how much of the epidemic of drug use and things like these school stabbings, frankly, are a result of people being raised by mentally ill people or by being around mentally ill people or by being mentally ill themselves. And I'm very careful, and I want to stress this point because I don't want anyone taking this out of context. I am sympathetic, first of all, and I do take mental health seriously, but most importantly, I'm not saying we need to other these people. Mm. I'm not saying we want to discriminate against them, and I'm not saying we want to consider them pariahs to society and treat them and ostracize them differently to the way we treat everyone else. That I'm very aware of, but I think there is a category of people that are just falling through the cracks in South Africa, and instead of all the rest of us just moving on, these people are doing enormous damage to the fabric of society, and a lot of it could be because they are not stable themselves. Something to think about. Well, so Cassie from SADAG, we must get you back in here.
Well, something similar on that note, this is shocking and not of the good kind. It's actually been 2 years since the opening of the Life Estimeni arbitration. Do you think about it? 2 years.
Well,
no, it was opened on the 9th of October, 2017.
And nobody's gone to jail.
Still, no one's.
Sure.
No one's gone to jail. Qedani Mahlangu is still a member of the ANC. She's still being deployed to various jobs. They killed people.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a mental health issue. That was an issue of disability, mental disability. Very different category of things. But good point to bring it up, Sia. It still upsets me. It breaks my heart to think of those people.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Well, here are some interesting ideas about this mental health thing. These come from Ruth as well. I blame violence in the home, and also social media doesn't help. I think those are two very, very important things that Ruth refers to. Both of them spot on. Violence in the home, a thing most kids in South Africa have to deal with because their parents are out of control.
Reptile brains.
Right. Thank you very much.
What?
Keeps coming up. Google's not wrong. Social media doesn't help. You think of how many people are growing up with social media, and it is the defining thing about their lives. If they don't get likes, they go into depression. If they don't have enough followers, they feel like they're not important people. They're not doing anything real with their lives. They're posting a fantasy life online, and it's making them feel worse about their real life.
Look, it is all of these factors and then some. I think our natural inclination whenever something is wrong is wanting to find a reason as to why it's happened. But, you know, we will never get to a perfect blueprint system to say, okay, this is how you make the perfect human being. Because I would counter some of these things and actually say, because of social media and because of media in general, I was more open-minded, I learned more, and that bode me well as a young person growing up. You know, as opposed to someone else who, at the same time, having the power of the internet, can find that out and research
it. I don't think it's by the way, I think it's bad parenting generally. There are obviously exceptions, but I think it's bad parenting to let your kids onto social media before they're 16, 17, 18. Yeah. I really don't think it's a good idea.
It messes you up.
It's not. Trust me, it's not good. If you've got a 12, 13, 14-year-old going through puberty online, it's just like they're, you're putting them in a big bear trap.
They're just open to everything.
Oh, my God. If you'd put me onto social media at that age, I would have spun out of control.
Sure.
Well, I have no other... I have no other experience. It's that crazy, and I often go through my Facebook memories and go, well, man,
well,
you had some issues.
The JMPD, in another story, have closed down 16 churches since the beginning of the year because they're not complying with the city's bylaws. The JMPD has now formed a partnership with church leaders to raise more awareness about the city's laws. They say no one is above the law, even faith-based organizations. They never allow such churches to operate in the city. The rogue churches, they should not be allowed, said David Tembe from the JMPD. Church leaders say they were troubled by initial reports of the raids, but after engaging with JMPD officials, they concede compliance is important. We must emphasize no one is above the law. No church is above the law. The two parties have since formed a forum aimed at guiding churches in correct conduct. Well, this term church has been used to define really pyramid schemes and shakedowns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing worse than seeing a con artist dressed in preacher's robes, promising people things that they will get in the afterlife in return for money that he or she needs right now.
Dude.
And this is happening. And the more desperate people are, the more they need the church, the more they find solace in rotten, thieving, lying con artists. And it's very easy. I could open a church tomorrow. There's like four down the road that we live on here, and they all have these long, complicated names and probably very little to do with religion and a lot to do with money.
Let the hallelujah redeemed people of earth seeking salvation say amen, worship center.
Yeah.
What?
Of Jesus Christ.
Is that a church name?
That's the one we're starting.
I'll
be the head of donations.
Good.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that a lot of these churches have opened up on land that isn't theirs, or they have illegal gatherings or whatever it might be, but why the JMPD and needs
make,
to be involved?
They make a busload of noise, Gareth.
A busload of noise. Okay. Well, the South African Human Rights Commission, and I didn't even pay much attention to this story because I honestly don't understand what's going on. The South African Human Rights Commission has put a muzzle on its legal head, Boang Jones, preventing him from commenting on the Eben Etzebeth case while it investigates his conduct. What did Eben Etzebeth do?
I don't know.
Okay, here's what they say happened. I don't understand. All right, okay. So apparently, Enver Wilsnach, Yoraida Papir, Muhammad Smith, and Kaylee Brook, Jesus, listen to those names, claim in court that Eben Etzebeth called them the H word, a derogatory term for colored people.
Okay.
Now there's an H.
Do you guys know what that is?
Guys, there's so many words I'm struggling to keep up, but okay, let's go with this. Mm-hmm. So they were at a Waterhut restaurant in Langebaan on the 25th of August, and before leaving for the Rugby World Cup, Etzebeth denied the claims. I think on the face of it, you know, it's Rugby World Cup time. This is exactly the time that if you're looking for attention, you involve a rugby player in your life. And let's imagine he did. So he called you the H word, whatever the fucking H word is. So what? What are you, children? With names like that, you should be characters in a cartoon show.
Damn inbreds.
Let's not go down that road.
But here they are. Okay, so they were called the H word by Etzebeth, apparently. Mm-hmm. That's what they claim. He says it's bullshit. And then Boang Jones, who is the legal head for the Human Rights Commission, which, by the way, is meant to be a respectable institution. They're involving themselves in people calling each other names. This is what a school principal does, not what the South African Human Rights Commission, a Chapter 11 institution, should be doing. Chapter 12, I think, sorry, not Chapter 11. It's crazy, right? Yeah. Apparently the H word is hottentot.
Oh, okay.
Hotties.
Oh, I thought it was something else.
Hotties.
Okay, so that's what Etzebeth called them. I mean, really. You're grown adult people, and the H word is going to stop you dead in your tracks, and you're going to take this out on Eben Etzebeth, who, by the way, needs a haircut. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But this is insane. And Buang Jones is now in trouble because there's criticism of comments that he made at a community meeting. He's alleged to have said that Etzebeth has been getting away with murder. Well, yes, because calling someone a name is the same as murder, you moron. Commission Chairperson Bongani Mojola says the SAHRC is not prejudiced against Etzebeth and will investigate Jones's comments. Well, you guys at the HRC, the Human Rights Commission, really need to decide what your job is, because human rights are a serious issue. Calling people names is not. We are very concerned about the statements made by Mr. Jones. They said, in the meantime, we should say that there are no more media comments on this case.
I'm surprised they didn't jump onto what happened over the weekend, even though we've received some clarification around it. When the Box were playing in Italy. Oh, firstly, look at me talk about sport. Cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, this Ben.
This is a revolutionary day.
Yeah, we're getting ready for Ben. He's joining us tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, there was this whole thing of our Box were on the field and they were celebrating and they all huddled up together. And it just so happened that one of our players, Mambimbi, who's a black player, was out of the two huddles. And then everyone was now saying, oh, see, rugby still has so much racism in it.
I'm going to say this again at the risk of getting into trouble with people. The reason these racist things, and they're hardly any, I mean, they're, you know, you see one or two a year where there are these supposed racist incidents. The reason that they're news is because they're very rare. Most black, white, and colored South Africans are getting on with their business. They're too busy to sit and quibble and quarrel about nonsense. It's children who argue about this stuff. And there isn't that much racism going on.
Yeah.
They have to make it up. They now have to make it up. Like Jussie Smollett made it up. Like this girl at the school in Florida in America.
12-year-old.
Did you hear that story? I think we covered it in the news last week. This girl claimed that a bunch of the white kids in her school, which happens to be Mike Pence's wife's school where she teaches. She says she was held down by these racist white kids, and they cut off her dreadlocks and called her all kinds of dirty words. Mm-hmm. Turns out it was complete nonsense. She made it up. If people are making up racist incidents, if they have to create racism out of nothing, then you know it's not an issue. I don't know anyone who's dumb enough to go around and actually perpetrate racist incidents. And I don't know anyone who has the time, frankly, that aren't busy trying to look after their kids, get themselves employed, make some money to live. Who has the time for racism as well? If you set aside time in your day for racism, for fuck's sake.
Racism isn't on my schedule. You know,
really, it's just
cooking, gym.
It's just unbelievable. Stop it. If Eben Etzebeth is a rugby player, he's not a politician. He's not trying to get your votes. And if he said that hot not or hottentot or whatever it's supposed he said.
Hotties.
Like, let's say to him, listen, you dumb rugby player, you're not allowed to use that word and stop it. That's all that's required. What do you want? Must he come here and we nail him to a cross and we leave him on Table Mountain for 3 days and then we find him in a cave the next day and see if he's alive? And if he's alive, it's because God's forgiven him. Do you? Come on.
And where do we also draw the line? Because going back to this Box story, so the Mambimbi, the player himself, actually released a video on his social media explaining what had happened and why he was out of the huddle. Supposedly there's this whole thing with the Box called the Bomb Squad, and the Bomb Squad are the reserve players on the side, and that's who the ones were all huddled up together. So he's like, no, actually guys, there was nothing to this more than it was all the reserve players huddling up together. And then people were still unhappy with that.
Sia, you've been corrected. You got all excited about how much you knew about sport. Well, Leighton's just reminded me that the Bucks were playing against Italy, The World Cup is happening in Japan.
Oh, you need to shut up.
Right?
Leave it to Ben, boy.
One last story in the five things, because we need to get cracking with the burning platform.
That's a good intersection.
A charge of rape has been added to the list of charges against a Durban father accused of killing his three children and stepdaughter. You see, again, this is the society we live in, and we're worried about someone calling someone names. He made another appearance in the Pinetown Magistrates Court on Wednesday. The man's children, aged 4, 6, and 10.
It's horrible.
Were found hanged in their family home in early September. His 16-year-old stepdaughter was found strangled in the bush, in Padfield Park in Pinetown. Officials say the new charge is unrelated to the murders. The charge of rape that the accused faced has joined the 4 counts of murder. Now the accused faces 5 counts, which is 4 counts of murder and 1 of rape. Outside the court, political parties came out in support of the mother. I mean, I'm sure she's thrilled to have political parties chanting outside the court, because, of course, they're going to make a huge difference to her life.
This poor woman's league will be coming out.
This poor woman, those poor children. Can you imagine the fear and the anguish that your own father takes you out like this? Sweet Jesus, we have big issues to worry about in this country, and they are not the ones that make the news. All right.
Stupid man.
Stupid, dangerous psychopath man. Anyway.
What else you got for us, Gareth?
No, after that story.
Those are five things of note.
Yeah. Nothing to say. It's just it's so upsetting.
Such an eerie moment.
Do you think we're just going through, like, this is a watershed moment of sorts?
I think we've got a very broken society. I think it's not the politicians, and it's not about the economy, and it's not about access to resources, and it's not even about legislation and our past. This is about individual responsibility. Like, you can blame anything you like, but if a father kills his three children and then a rape charge is added, this father is an animal. This is not a person that can be accounted for in a civilized society. This is a monster. And you can't blame Cyril Ramaphosa for him, and you can't blame the economy for him, and you can't blame unemployment for him. This is much, much deeper. This is about someone who is such a disaster that they've forgotten that they're there to be responsible and to love and to care for their family. And if you cannot look after your family, if you are so broken that your family become your victims,
sure,
then there is no hope for you. Then there is no amount of care and interference and involvement that can be brought from the outside to fix you. You are a disaster.
But dude, I think for me, it's not just him, but it's the level of violence in this country. Because I mean, he's just killed his children. There's children killing children.
Yeah.
There's criminals raping.
Just take the stories we did this morning, right? And this is why I hate doing the goddamn news. And we try to keep it down to five things, and we've ended up talking about it for 25 minutes because it's so big an issue. It's way more than that. It's about, like, people don't know how to treat people.
Moral fabric.
Yeah. Like, who's raising someone to eventually grow up to be an adult who murders his three children?
Sure.
Who made that person? Who damaged and broke that person on their way to adulthood? Who took that innocent creature? Because no one's born like this. Okay, there are a few random examples of people who are just so deranged, and they're so genetically messed up that they can't be fixed. But most children are not born to be violent monsters. How did this happen? And who's responsible for turning this guy into the monster that he is now? Because that isn't the government, and it isn't an employer, and it isn't school, and it isn't university, and it isn't a book or a video game. This is about the way people treat each other. And if someone, if a whole community of people are treating each other so badly that someone like this makes it to adulthood, then that whole community is to blame. And all the people in that community have no room to be asking for help or to be pointing fingers at anyone else. Really, there's no hope then. We got to just, you know, these people, they almost need to just be kind of left to destroy themselves, and the rest of us can come and clean up afterwards.
And similarly, you talk about individual responsibility, but what sort of mess of a melting pot do you have when your home, your family should be your solace, where
you
find comfort and love? And these are the people you also turn on.
Well, this is what no one likes to talk about in this country. You know, people say crime, crime, crime. We've got these huge rates of murder and rape and all the rest of it. They don't like to admit, because it's in the statistics, that the vast majority, by a long way, of all the murder, rape, and destruction that happens, happens inside families.
Yeah, it's very rare for us to point out when politicians stump us for good.
How do you expect someone who can't even just keep his children alive without murdering them to also be responsible,
a law
to get a job,
citizen,
to follow the rules, to vote in an election, to make comments on the news? These are not balanced people. That's why I'm saying we need an overhaul of mental health in this country. We need to decide certain people are actually not functioning adults, even if they are at a certain age.
Oh, it starts somewhere, Garrett, because I mean, with the kids as well, that's where it begins, with these kids that we're talking about. You know, and I think it needs to be resolved somewhere in the beginning, not with this 40-something-year-old man who's already messed up.
Sure.
What can you do for him? You can't help him.
Well, the first thing is, if you are like that, you should not have children. It's going to go badly. And people don't know that they're like that because they think they're normal until they pull out a pair of scissors and stab a fellow pupil.
Mm.
Anyway, look. It's all very depressing. I don't want to focus on this too much, but if we're ever going to do a news day, it's going to be a Thursday. We've got Canthan coming in for the Burning Platform. Luckily, tomorrow, for all of us, because I'm going to need it after this news cycle, tomorrow is No Politics Friday.
Not a stitch, not a piece, not a gram.
It means we're also not going to do anything ugly and nasty tomorrow. We'll talk about fun stuff and get into the weekend. All right. Basically, hide our heads in the sand. All right. It is just after 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. Good morning. We are going into summer. Some old school with JT. CliffCentral.com.